varying thoughts about subject matter, which is why they try to translate it as meaning double-minded. But since the mind is part of the soul, only one part of the soul, there's the other part, emotions. So a person could have varying emotions producing those things. And then last week we also concluded with this, that it is the environment or something else producing the thoughts and not the thoughts existing in itself. So sometimes when you are deep in prayer or deep in worship, you got a flow of nice flowing thoughts flowing through you. Is it you producing the thoughts or the atmosphere producing the thoughts? At other times, you could accidentally find yourself in a situation where you're surrounded by unbelievers and all kinds of sin going on around you. Suddenly, all kinds of thoughts seem to surround you, which are in that character, characteristic. And you wonder whether it's your environment causing all those thoughts to come to you, or is those thoughts that are just yourself producing the environment. So we realize that in the Bible, from the book of Romans, that is the living that produces the thoughts. Then we realize that the environment produces a certain level of thought life. So those are the two conclusions we have. When we talk about double soul, it could mean a double mind. It could mean double emotions, right? If they apply to the mind, and since emotions are part of our soul too, and since the strict word is double soul, it could also be double emotions. They are flowing. And the Bible says he is unstable in all his ways. For the sake of discussion, let's define the word soul to consist of three different parts of our being. Our intellect, our free choice, or the word for it is volition, the part of us that can choose. And number three, our emotions. So there are three different characteristics to our soul. There could be more, but for the sake of our discussion, let's put it to three. Then if the Bible uses the word double soul, it will mean it becomes possible to have two thoughts about something that keep triggering, have like a zigzag pendulum to and fro. It could also mean our emotions zigzag to and fro. A double soul. It could also mean our free choice. Sometimes you know, choose this, choose that. You keep on not knowing what to choose. All this resulting from the soul. The only way for us to find out more about the soul is perhaps to look in the Bible at the word soul, and perhaps it would give us a little bit of light. And one of the things I found in the word soul, and we just run through them, is that soul seems to be able to cleave or tie itself to something. In the book of Genesis, in the time of Joseph, right, it uses this statement regarding him, nefesh, or the word translated soul or animal soul. In Genesis 34 verse 3, there was this unbeliever, and the Bible used the word, his soul cleave to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. So there was this soul hanging on or cleaving on to something. Our modern word could be the word infatuation or whatever. And that, in a different sense, is mentioned in regard to Jacob when in Genesis chapter 44, in the brother's description of Jacob, that Jacob's soul, although it's translated as the word life, the word is nefesh, which you can translate it also as soul, strictly speaking. In Genesis chapter 44, when the brothers came and spoke regarding Jacob, because Joseph demanded sort of all everyone to appear before him. And he talks about the father, Jacob, who was an old man by that time. In verse 20, we say to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, who is young, his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. That's why they cannot bring the youngest brother. That's what was their explanation. Then verse 30. Look at verse 30. Genesis 44, 30. Now therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, the lad is not with us since his life. In your Bible translated his life. The same word is the word nephesh, which can be translated his soul, is bound up in the lad's life. And here's an interesting quality of the soul. The soul can get attached to a person or a thing. He uses the word soul. And that's not good. The soul gets attached. And that's why people end up loving things more than people. And when your soul is attached to whatever thing there is, whatever happens to that thing, it affects you emotionally. Or that person. So our soul has those attachments to things, like little tentacles. And why is it that sometimes when I was student pastor in one of the Baptist churches, and we didn't have much possessions, all we had was just enough to get by. And I used to go to a youth fellowship on Saturday, and then Sunday night they had a special fellowship. And there's this person who has this nice guitar. He carries his guitar to and fro. And one day, on one evening, something happened to this person's guitar. I think somebody snatched it and ran away with it. And I found this person sitting in the corner, and he was crying. So I went to find out why he was crying. And he said, you know, he lost his guitar. For me at that time, I was pretty young at the time, didn't understand much of human psyche. I was wondering why he cried over his guitar. It could have cost maybe a couple $100 or more. And I think, if I remember correctly, his was only about a few $100. But it caused him to cry. Remember, I was just a young seminary greenhorn student. And so new to the things of life. I was underage when I went to seminary. I was still growing in mentally to understand society and people. And I was there wondering, in my heart, I was wondering, why did this person cry when he lost his guitar? I didn't understand that. We know that you have seen pictures of disaster happening in places and people with houses swept away, and they sat down in the ruins of their house and they cried. Why does our soul get so attached? Of course, it's understandable when sometimes you lose a loved one. A loved one goes to be with the Lord. Although you know that they are with the Lord and in the Lord and being in a much better place if they are in the Lord, you still weep and cry because you miss them. You were attached to them. But that's an interesting quality of the soul. Now, that can be dangerous, which is why Jesus, in all his teaching, speaks about the soul in this manner. Let's look at the book of Matthew. And Matthew chapter 16. Jesus says in verse 24 to 27, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life. Now let me translate it correctly. There's the word suke. So every time there's a word suke, I read it as soul rather than life. Because there's another word for life in the Bible, which is the word zoe in the New Testament. So here is the word suke. So I put the word soul when it's suke in verse 24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his soul will lose it. But whoever loses his soul for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? So here he is advocating that we have to separate our soul from our spiritual walk with Him. He says that if you seek after the things of your soul, you will lose it. But if you deny your soul and you seek after God, you will find your soul. That's an interesting preposition of losing one's soul. We thought that losing one's soul is just losing salvation. Here he's talking about something deeper than that. It includes that, of course, of eternal damnation, etc. But there's something about detaching our soul from things and people. Yes, including people too. And here's another little passage when it speaks about being detached from people. Let's look at an earlier portion of the book of Matthew. Just a few chapters early. And talks about following Him. Let me bring forth. It's always a mistranslation of the word soul or suke into the word life, like we found just now in Matthew chapter 16. And let's find, that's the other one translated as soul too. And the other illustration that Jesus has, which is in one of his speeches to his people, where he talked about loving your loved ones, and by itself that sounds fine, but when it compares to your love for the Lord, there is an aspect in which we need a sort of detachment. And let's look at, first of all, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, where it's one of his commandments that he requires of us. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Says this is the first and the great commandment. That's the word great there, which implies that it is foremost, the most important of them all. And the second is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. So our soul is not just something to be rejected, but something to be incorporated into loving God.